Good evening.
Good evening.
All right, let's turn on over our Bibles to Psalm 73. And tonight I have a three-part message. There's three parts to this one message. And it's of Christ, made new, and set apart. Of Christ, made new, and set apart. And I really appreciate Drew's opening. I mean, you just got everybody laughing so much and encouraging. I mean, I'm really encouraged to be here with the body. How about you?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that encouraging to see people like Drew that are stepping up here and, you know, making these making assembly and Lord's Supper a commitment? I mean, that's encouraging to me, and I'm encouraged by you, man, so I appreciate it. And it was encouraging to run with him too. He's a very positive guy. Except the workout, the CrossFit workout, didn't sound too fun. So, I want to open with the question, how many of you like to be different? Okay, we got a few people over here. See, if you raise your hand, you must like to be different, because you saw that not many people were raising their hands. So, a lot of people don't really like to be different. You know, a lot of people like to fit in with the crowd. And today I want to talk about how in Christ we are different, though. And it's not a different that God wants us to be different for the sake of being different, but God has set us apart. So we're in Psalm 73, and we're going to read verses 1 through 7, actually 1 through 17. This is one of my favorite psalms that I read through at times. It's encouraging to me, actually, through the whole thing. It talks about how God is my refuge. God is our refuge. But we're going to start in Psalm 73, verse 1. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet came close to stumbling, my steps had almost slipped. For I was envious of the arrogant, as I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for there are no pains in their death, and their body is fat. They are not troubled as other men, nor are they plagued with mankind. Therefore, pride is their necklace, the garment of violence covers them. Their eye bulges from fatness, the imaginations of their heart run riot. They mock and wickedly speak of oppression. They speak from on high, they have set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue parades through the earth. Therefore, his people return to this place, and waters of abundance are drunk by them. They say, how does God know? And there is knowledge with the Most High. Behold, these are the wicked, and always at ease. They have increased in wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and washed my hands in innocence. For I have been stricken all day long and chastened every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. When I pondered to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight. Until I came into the sanctuary of God, then I perceived their end. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much just for the opportunity that I get to come up here. Thank you for your holiness, Father, that you are holy, you are set apart, and that you desire that for us, that you've set us apart, God, and you make us holy as you are holy. I just pray that tonight that I can speak words that are pleasing to you, that are encouraging to the saints, and ultimately that we can take these things to heart and really let the word work within us. Thank you so much for the assembly here, the body here, and really around the world. I just pray that we keep focused, keep going, as Jared mentioned, to you in prayer. And I pray we never lose sight of really the gift that you've given to us. It's in your son's name I pray. Amen. So, I mentioned that being different, I talked a little bit about being different. You know, it is different to be a Christian in today's world. You do get looked at differently. Matter of fact, Drew brought up a great example. He pretty much lost his job because of it. You know, people are going to immediately notice if you do anything that's contrary to the world. And the reason why I started with Psalm 73 is because it talks about, you know, the wicked. The wicked seem like they have it all together. They got all of this good stuff. They live in high on the hog. You know, they're living their best life. And the writer is talking about how I'm chastened every morning. You know, every day is just rough for me. As Drew mentioned, you know, it's kind of terrible out there when you're trying to fight for the right things. As a Christian, we are going to stand out. And so I want us to encourage you tonight, really, to stand firm on what separates you from the world. We will be different, and you will be different. And just a word of caution to start with, if you're finding yourself fitting in exactly like the world, maybe you should start to question, why am I not really that much different? Question things like that. The world is wicked. The world is full of wicked plots. Even Nolan has brought this up several times. The people that usually float to the top, it's usually because they're not that great, right? To get ahead in the world, you have to step on a few people in the world's game. Let's go on over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, the pressure to conform is great, though. The pressure to conform, make no mistake, I hope that we can walk away tonight and really see that, you know, Satan and the way that he has infiltrated so many aspects of, you know, you look at Revelation, he's got false prophets, he's got false government, I mean, he's got a hold of so many things. We have to be on guard at all times, knowing that this is spiritual warfare. Satan has infiltrated everything that you can see in the world. Matter of fact, we're going to read it here out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Actually, let's start in verse 1. We'll read 1 through 4. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So, I have a few different things on here, but it's, you look at social media and you look at things like that day in and day out, you can see, and even politics, you can see the devil's hand working. The devil is, Satan is the god of this world. He's got a grasp on it. So let us take that and be also take that as a caution to make sure we don't want to become like people of the world. We don't want to conform to the world. I have a few things on here. You know, there's a lot of different, you know, things to follow out there. One of the things I found on social media actually a while back was this guy. He walks around and he was dressed as like a Mexican guy. You probably have seen this. Some of you have seen this. He has like a sombrero on, and he has a poncho on, and he goes to college, and he, you know, he asks the people in the college, he says, hey, what do you think of what I'm wearing? What do you think of my outfit? And people were like, oh, that's offensive. You shouldn't be wearing that. And then he's like, okay, that's weird, because everybody was just like, that's so offensive. I think he also had a mustache taped on, like it was obviously fake. And people kept saying that was offensive. Well, then he went over to where the Mexican, actual people from Mexico were. And they actually said, he said, does this offend you? What do you think about what I'm wearing? And they were like, that's great. I love it. You know, this is just awesome. And he has another one where he's actually wearing like Chinese clothes. And he has like the little, I don't know what that hat is. It's like a upside down cone. Anyways. You know, he goes to the college campus, and a bunch of people kept telling him, I don't know of anybody, at least on his video, they didn't show it. Nobody thought that it was that cool, and they all said it was, like, offensive, and he shouldn't be wearing it. goes over to where people are, you know, Chinatown or something, and the people, they said they loved it. They were fine with it. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up is just because I thought it was kind of a fun story, but also because you can easily see the indoctrination happening at the college right there. You can. That's indoctrination, really. See, people who actually grew up in that, that experienced that, they didn't have any issue with it. You had to be trained to dislike it. And there's actually a lot more. That's just one little thing. That's the cultural appropriation thing. But, you know, you could talk about BLM, you know, a lot of woke agenda, a lot of those things. Those things are things that culture promotes, and it's really something that you just see. It takes off like a wildfire. It just spreads through social media. Now, a lot of these things are meant. Do you think that BLM really has helped black lives? No? There's actually going to be a documentary coming out about that soon, I believe. And, you know, I don't want to go off and talk about politics tonight too much, but it's the world we live in, and you got to realize that the world is corrupted. So we have to ask the question, are we of the world or are we of Christ? Christian, I ask you the question. Are you of the world or are you of Christ? Of Christ. So that means that maybe what we believe is going to be contrary, most definitely, contrary to what the majority is going to be promoting. And it's not for the sake of being different. It's because we hold on to the principles of God, and ultimately, Satan uses the world to conform and to get people to basically be peer pressured into doing things wrong, to view things in an inappropriate manner. let's go on over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. We'll actually be coming here later, but we'll just cover these first two verses here at first. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. You see, Satan, he's very crafty. Let's actually start turning on over to, let's go to Matthew 16. Because Satan, see, Satan's lies can be hard to detect at times. In Corinthians, Paul actually says that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. See, I actually wrote a letter to somebody recently, and in the letter, one of the things I really brought up was, can you be deceived? You see, when you're deceived, you don't really recognize it. That's the part of when you're being deceived. And people, the nature of people is to be like sheep, right? We know that's a biblical thing. To be like sheep. Well, usually sheep are, they're not completely dumb. You know, they're a little smart at times. But they're not the smartest creatures. Usually they just follow where the majority goes. It's just this herd mentality. See, Satan uses that against people. Tries to get them to go down the broad path. You know, if everybody is following this, you know, if everybody believes a certain thing, it must be true, right? If the majority says something, there must be some reason the majority is following it. Well, sometimes it plays out in even personal conversations. In Matthew chapter 16, we'll read verses 21 through 23. From this time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you. So just, we'll pause there and just think about Jesus is saying, hey, I'm going to die, raise again. And then Peter takes Jesus aside. Can you imagine taking Jesus aside and saying, in rebuking him. You know, Peter rebukes Jesus and he says, hey, this should never happen to you, Jesus. Can you imagine rebuking Jesus? And let's look at what Jesus says. Jesus in verse 23, he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's." You see, you think that Peter had some, you know, was he possessed by Satan in the sense that Satan went into him? I wouldn't say so. But what it was is that he was saying exactly what Satan would want him to say. He was living by the flesh. Set your mind on the Spirit, not set your mind on man's will. We're of Christ and not of the world. So where should our mindset be? It should be on Christ. We could go to Colossians 3. We could go talk about different things. We're really to have our mindset above, and Nolan did a great job talking about that this morning. It was a great message if you haven't listened to it. So let's actually go on to 1 John chapter 2. I'm not going to turn to the James passage because I know we'll probably get there in our class. But 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to get verses 15 through 17. I just, as we're reading through this, I would encourage you to just take some time to really self-reflect. Maybe not right now, so you're not completely zoning out during the rest of the message. But, you know, think about this. Realistically, am I more invested in people in the church or in the world? Drew brought up his Lord's Supper was a great Lord's Supper. Think about the people in this room right now. How important God has, he's placed so much value on each person here. And this is all we've got. Right, Drew? This is the body of Christ. And maybe if we don't get along that well, maybe we get along better in the world. Maybe that's where we need to really reflect and think about things. And maybe this is where we get a practice working together. This is where we get a practice to be unified, to work on unity. You know, Jesus prayed in John 17. He says, "Hey, I pray that you guys become one." But whenever, you know, problems happen, you guys can go figure it out on your own. Jesus didn't say that. And we have each other's back. When we're in a battle together, the people that are with you, those are the people that you should be most unified with, to be connected with, have the closest relationships with. And each person, I don't think any person, if you genuinely try to reach out to somebody, you know, in the congregation and try to help them, I don't think, or try to just build a connection with them, they're not going to just shun you and say, "Why are you trying to, you know, be my friend? That's weird." You know, the body and being of Christ and in Christ and in His body is so important, and it's so much more valuable than anything that you can find in the world. But we're in 1 John chapter 2. This is just something that has been something that Christians have had to work on through for a long time. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever." I mentioned James 4. Let's just turn there. James chapter 4, let's read verses 4 through, actually let's start in verse 1. We'll read 1 through 5. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and you do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, do not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which he has made to dwell in us. You know, here James uses, he calls them adulteresses. That's powerful. It's really powerful. That's strong language. You don't just throw that word around willy-nilly. And why does he say this, though? You see, because when we came into Christ, we became his body, we became the bride of Christ, united as one. And so, naturally, thinking about the nature of where the world is, that's not going to be probably of Christ. So to leave one, to leave Christ and go to the world and to become intimate and close with the world is really adulterous. See, we're not to be friends of the world. And that doesn't mean that we just totally disregard the world. We're told to go out into the world to be friendly, to be nice, but it's really for the meaning to help bring people into Christ. And we should be the nicest people of all. Amen? I mean, we've been talking about in James being loving your neighbor. You know, you're not, if you go to everybody and say, well, you're not in Christ, so I'm not going to talk to you, that's not what I'm meaning. We are to love people, and we lay down our life to help people. But where do you get your strength from? Is it in the world, or is it in the body of Christ and in the Scriptures and in prayer? And the time is catching up on me fast. So we've been talking about being of Christ, being made new. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to read verses 16 through 21. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And that's what we do when we go out and we interact with the world. He made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God. This has been preached a lot up front, the new creation, and how marvelous it is. Man, we have been given something so special, and as Kevin keeps talking about appraising things properly, think about the tremendous value God has placed on you as a new creature. And it's not meant to be, I know Nolan, I didn't coordinate with you on the notes, did I, from this morning? No. But he, you know, everybody kept just saying things that just fall right in line. You know, God didn't make us a better version of ourselves. He didn't make you a better version of yourself. And he did, don't get me wrong, but that's not what really the intent was. The intent was that old person, when you came into Christ, who you were prior to Christ died. That person's gone. That Lorenzo, he died. You come up, a new creature. born from above, born again. And this is something that is really key to thinking about being in Christ and not of the world. We have been born again. What is our identity? It's in Christ. Because of time, we're going to... Well, we can go late. I remember Mike going to 8:15, so you guys are trained up really well. There's a saying out there, it's Jesus, friend of sinners. That's not a biblical term. There's a song I think I've heard on K-Love, and I've heard it on Christian radio before, Jesus, friend of sinners. Now, when Jesus was on the earth, was he friendly to sinners, and did he interact with them a ton? Yes, he came to the sick. He came to help. Yet, if he didn't come in the first place, man, the sinners would be out of luck. But he obviously, I mean, we've mentioned this again in our class on James. He said, you're my friends if you do what I command you to do, though. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 7. Because Jesus lives, amen? He lives, and he is seated on the throne. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Hebrews 7, we're going to read verses 23 through 26. The former priests, on the one hand, existed in greater numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing. But Jesus, on the other hand, because he continues forever, holds his priesthood permanently. Therefore, he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. You couldn't be in Christ and of Christ if you were still a sinner. You see, God takes you and he makes you new. Brand new. Brand spanking new. And this is where it's going to actually tie into the last part I want to make, is that we're set apart. Sanctified. Set apart. Made holy. See, it's something that is very special, and God is holy, and so his people are to be holy as well. Let's actually start turning on over to Ephesians chapter 2. You know, it goes back to the opening question, are we different or set apart? Well, yes. But are we different? You know, usually if you think about somebody says, wow, you know, so-and-so, they're a little different. Usually that's more of a negative thing, right? Usually. You know, sometimes people like to be different. I mean, I already had some of you raise your hands if, you know, you like to be different. You know, some people do like to be different. Maybe they like being the oddball out because the attention it might get them, you know. But at the end of the day, most people don't really like to be too different, at least not in a negative way. You see, usually when you stick out in the world, and in our context as Christians, it's actually always in a negative way, in the way the world views you. We are not going to turn there for sake of time, but John 15 and 1 John also talk about how the world, don't be surprised if the world hates you. Don't be surprised if the world hates you. The world's not going to like it. We're not going to turn to John 16, but, you know, through our life and the way that we live, it's going to be showing Christ to the world. And sometimes that's uncomfortable. But I tell you what, people who are really looking for the truth, they're going to see that. They're going to say, I know there's something about you that's different. We're set apart, and it's for a positive thing. God has not just made us different for it to be different. God has made us different, set apart for a specific example. We're in Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not as a result of works so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. See, we weren't saved by works, but we were created for good works. See, we were created for good works. God wants us to be unashamed workmen. Let's look at verse 4 in chapter 1 here in Ephesians while we're here. We'll actually start in verse 3, but we'll do verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. I have a lot of other things that I could say, but in closing, I just want to consider, think about the Jews were way different than all the other nations in the Old Testament, weren't they? I mean, they couldn't eat pork, they couldn't, you know, marry other people of other nations, they couldn't get certain markings, they couldn't have piercings, they couldn't, you know, shave in a certain way, you know, with their beards. They couldn't do a lot of different things, actually. They couldn't eat a lot of different foods, and sorry, bacon was not on the menu. Now, why was that, though? You see, God was, he was trying to show a picture. Not, it wasn't about the food, you know. It wasn't, you know, in the beginning, you can see that God, he wasn't opposed to them ever eating pig. But obviously, God wanted really to set apart, make it very distinct. These people are different from these people. He was setting apart his own people. We're gonna turn on over to 1 Peter chapter 2 to close. But, you know, one of the things that was told is not to marry other nations. One of the things that can turn somebody away is not associating and marrying people that are not really of Christ. You got to be careful with that. I have some 1 Peter 2, right? I have about 4 different verses that I'm jumping over. We're going to go to 1 Peter 2, verse 9 and 10. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, Christian, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And I want to look at chapter 1. We'll read verses 13 through 16. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Fix your hope completely. We talked about faith this morning. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts, which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. I don't think I could close it any better than by reading that verse. But my final encouragement is just remember that we've been set apart. We are to be holy as ultimately God set us apart, so that we are to be holy as he is holy. Let us not conform to the world, as Romans 12 talks about, but let us be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Thank you.